Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Jermaine Bell was planning to spend his 7th birthday at Disney World. And this is a trip for which he had been saving for quite some time. But as the news stories alerted him about the area that had been impacted by Hurricane Dorian, Jermaine changed his mind. He enlisted the help of his grandmother, Aretha Grant, and he used his birthday money, which was about $500, to buy hot dogs, chips, and bottled water for those who were evacuating their homes. He then made homemade signs and stood with them along the highway to get the attention of those who needed his help. This is what he said. The people that are traveling to go to places, I wanted them to have some food to eat so they can enjoy the ride to the place they're going to stay at. I wanted to be generous and live to give. Now, this story spread quickly, and it came to the attention of the people at Disney World. So they sent some representatives to Jermaine's home in Jacksonville. They sent a special Simba toy and some VIP passes so that he and several family members could still enjoy that Disney vacation after all, which should say something to you and me about generosity. It's never wasted. Now, God's gift to you and me is not Disneyland. God's gift to you and me is eternal life. So in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders. And if you read the entire chapter, what you'll discover is this is a very emotional moment as he's saying goodbye to these Ephesian brothers that he has spent so much time with. And so in verse 32, he says these words, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The word inheritance in the Greek, kleronomion, implies that we are heirs. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we are children of God, heirs of salvation. Now, normally when we think about inheritance, when we think about being an heir, we think of property, we think of money, we think of material things. And these are things which do not endure because we do not endure. One of the things that I inherited from my dad was his coin collection. This is a coin that was a part of his big, big, big collection of coins. It's from 1886. It's a silver dollar. It's worth somewhere between $50 and $185, depending upon who I was to sell it to. So I probably should not use it to buy a Coke at McDonald's. As I pulled this out of its envelope, I thought to myself how old this coin is, and I wonder how many people have held it. I wonder how many people have used it. I wonder how many people have been a part of this coin's history. So I get to be a part of it. I've been a part of it for about 40 years. But you know, I won't get to keep it. Someday it will be given to a member of our family. That's how it is with material things. We do not keep them forever. But as Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, that we are receiving an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. It was Jim Elliot who said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And that's how it is with eternal life. It cannot be lost. It cannot be stolen. It is a permanent inheritance. Everything I have, I lose when I die. But when I die, I come into the inheritance that God has prepared for me, which is for all of eternity. And so while I'm on this earth, I need to be thinking about others instead of thinking about all that I can accumulate. The Apostle Paul said in verses 33 and 34, "I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions." We know from reading the Bible that the Apostle Paul was a tent maker. That was his occupation. And so he supported himself in ministry by working his job. Now, you don't get this from Acts chapter 20, but if you read the 24th chapter of the book of Acts, what you will discover is why the Apostle Paul was saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders. He was leaving Macedonia, and he was heading for Jerusalem. And there were a lot of people that thought going to Jerusalem is a bad idea, Paul. It's not going to go good for you there. And that's what happened. He was arrested, he was beaten, he was flogged, he was thrown into jail, and he was brought up on trial because of his belief in Jesus Christ. And so that was the fate that awaited him in Jerusalem. But why did he go to Jerusalem? Well, the 24th chapter of the book of Acts makes it clear that he had been collecting an offering from the Macedonian churches to give to the poor in Jerusalem. So that's what was motivating and driving him toward that city and toward all the hostility that he would face, was his own generosity toward the brothers who were there who were suffering. And that reminds me that every day I should think about the needs of others. I shouldn't be all wrapped up in myself and what it is that I need. I should be thinking about the needs of others. Cheryl Batchelder is the CEO of Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, and she turned her company around with a focus on serving other people. She's a committed Christian, and she, in a recent interview, shared her thoughts on servanthood. "The Bible verse," she said, "that's on my calendar every day is Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, because I haven't found one that's more paramount to how I want to lead in my family and in my work. The verse says, 'Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves.'" Cheryl says, "I really like the choice of words around counting others more significant than yourself." She said these words, and these are good words for you and I to think about. "I believe we're all born with an inner two-year-old. We'd really still like to be laying on the floor, kicking and screaming because we didn't get the candy bar we wanted. It's pretty hardwired that we're self-absorbed little people. We learn to fake it well, but we're still pretty much that two-year-old on the inside." Cheryl said, "I find that biblical perspective really challenging in every aspect of my day, how I'm spending my time, the decisions that I make, to put them through a filter of whether I'm thinking about myself or whether I'm thinking about others. Am I doing this because I'll get a bigger bonus check? Or am I really thinking about the long-term interest of this company? Am I doing this truly for my franchise owners, or am I getting some personal benefit that I haven't been willing to acknowledge?" Those kinds of provocative self-mirror questions hold you to a higher standard. I always say servant leadership is an aspiration because you can never really claim you've arrived. As soon as you do, someone will find you and in a trap of self-interest. It's something you've always worked toward. Cheryl sounds to me like someone who's content with what she has, and she's not worried about how much she can accumulate in this world. It reminds us of the words of the Apostle Paul, which were shared with the Philippians in chapter 4. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. The word for strength in the Greek is eschuo, and it can be translated to have power. And so God gives to you and me all the power that we need to survive the month, to pay all of our bills, and then to be generous as well. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 20, verse 35, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You see the word blessed in the Bible quite a lot, don't you? You know what that word means? The word is makarion, and it means to be happy. So the question on the table for you today is, am I happy? You know how to be happy? Be generous. That's the key to happiness. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 13, it says, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. So that tells me something very important about generosity. If I'm generous, I don't get the glory for that. God gets the glory for that. And God is the one who deserves the glory for the generosity that I share with the world. Because God gave me everything I have. And so if I'm being generous with the world, I'm simply passing along to others what God has given to me. Jordan Taylor was stocking bottles of orange juice at the Rouse Market when he noticed a young man by the name of Ziggy Edwards, who's a 17-year-old. He was staring at him. And so he stopped what he was doing and he offered to Ziggy the opportunity to help in the work. And soon they were both operating in coordinated teamwork, stocking the bottles and milk cartons together. What's so significant about this is that Ziggy is autistic. Ziggy's father was on hand and he was so impressed that he filmed the whole exchange. And in a follow-up conversation, Jordan revealed that he wanted to go to school to become a teacher. Ziggy's sister then set up a crowdfunding account to raise funds for Taylor's education. Meanwhile, the Rouse Market offered the autistic Ziggy Edwards a part-time job stocking shelves, a job for which he had already demonstrated his capability and his teamwork. Now, the money raised for Taylor's education enabled him to enroll at Grambling State University, but before the start of the semester, a local credit union contacted his family to notify them of the gift for Jordan. What was that gift? It was a Chevrolet Cruze sedan. Was that a good idea for Jordan to invite Ziggy to help him stock those shelves? It sure sounds like it. You know, Jesus wants everyone in this room to know that if we are generous, the Father will be generous toward us. And so he said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And so the question remains, do you want to be happy? Do you want to be happy? If you want to be happy, then help others. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for its reminder to us of the Apostle Paul's generosity to the people of Jerusalem who were poor. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace toward us, and that we may be happy and blessed because we are generous and loving and thoughtful toward other people, not only with our material possessions, but with our time and our attention. Help us, O God, to be generous and to help others, because you have helped us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 284, "They'll Know We're Christians by Our Love." If you have a need for prayer, we invite you to come to the front and a deacon or deaconess will pray with you. If you have a need in your heart to accept Christ as Savior and Lord, we also invite you to come to the front and we will pray with you to make that profession of faith. If you have a desire in your heart to unite with the ministry of Mount Washington Baptist Church and become a member, we invite you to come forward as well. May we all stand and sing together, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love."